When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During high school, I went through confirmation 3 times. Now, to be fair, I went through as a student only once. The final 2 times, I went through as a peer leader. My senior year, we had a new senior pastor who wanted to switch things up a bit with confirmation. For our first lesson on Jesus, he put a call out to the congregation asking to borrow art people had that portrayed Jesus. He then displayed this mini art gallery and had the confirmation students go through and pick out their favorite pieces. We had a bit of everything. We had the very classic kind of white Scandinavian-looking Jesus that appeared to be glowing in side profile. We had more Arabic-looking Jesuses. We had Jesus in a boat with his disciples. We had Jesus on the cross. We had Jesus resurrected. We had Jesus in a modern-day city. We had lots and lots of Jesus. It was interesting looking at all the different depictions on Jesus and the different takes on his life and ministry and appearance. It was also interesting learning which depiction of Jesus people liked most. Most of the confirmation youth liked the classic, glowing, peaceful-looking Jesus. I liked the scruffier, more Arabic-looking Jesus myself. The senior pastor liked a classic Salvador Dali painting of Jesus on the cross floating over a lake. I remember this mostly because it was a really cool idea. Yes, confirmation students, be warned, this will be in your future. And also, congregation members, be warned, I will be asking you for art pieces of Jesus at some point in time. But I also remember this because it was the first of many times I realized that everyone has a different picture, a different idea of who Jesus is. In the lesson from today, we come across Jesus as he's getting ready to enter Jerusalem. The disciples run ahead and grab Jesus, a donkey, and a colt to ride on. How he rode into Jerusalem on both a donkey and a colt, I have no idea, but it's Jesus, so I'm just going to go with it. As Jesus rides in, he attracts a crowd. This very large crowd took their cloaks off and took out branches from trees and spread them on the road as a sign of reverence. They also had their own battle cry, or cheer as I like to think of it, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Hosanna, of course, being a shout of praise or an exclamation. Now it says when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" Who is this? Here you have the key question of Holy Week, the key question of the New Testament, the key question of Christianity. Who is this? Who is Jesus? Jesus who? Those who ushered Jesus into the city certainly think they know who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of David, as they proclaim with their chanted hosannas, Son of David. David was the most well-known and revered king of Israel. David is in David and Goliath. David, as in the guy who wrote most of the Psalms that we read week to week. David, who led armies and drove out the Philistines and conquered. David, who deeply loved the Lord, even though he was known to mess up a time or two. That David, King David. From this cry, we start to get an idea of what people wanted from Jesus, or at least what these people said these words wanted from Jesus. David was king. Currently, they had no king. The rulers they had were puppets from Rome, whom they did not like. They were occupied by outside forces, they were taxed, and they were not happy with it. Who is this? This is the Son of David, who will overthrow the empire and rule over their own autonomous states. Who is this? Jesus who? This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. This is another answer that we receive from the crowd of people. Jesus is a prophet. Jesus speaks God's words to the people. Now, all things considered, this isn't necessarily wrong. Jesus does bring God's word to God's people because Jesus is God. But they don't put this together. To them, he's just Jesus from down the road from the neighboring town of Nazareth in Galilee, just from, you know, over off of Lidditz Pike. Jesus is from just down the road. Jesus is familiar. We know where he's from. The people had their ideas of who Jesus was. The people had their picture of Jesus in their mind, and it corresponded with what they wanted. It corresponded with what they were comfortable with. Who is this? Jesus who? I've read across many portrayals of Jesus since my senior year in high school. I've read about Jesus in the Bible, of course. I've read about Jesus in theology books. I've discussed Jesus with fellow seminarians and professors. I've watched Jesus portrayed in movies and on television. I've read about Jesus in pop culture. I've read about Jesus on theology blogs. One thing I've learned over and over again since that day in confirmation class is that our biases inform how we see Jesus. Our biases help shape who we think Jesus really is. In my time learning about Jesus, I've encountered hippie Jesus, who is all for peace, man, and who is really into daisies and against war, and who wore tie-dye shirts. I've encountered ironic bearded hipster Jesus, who invented cool because he's God after all, and who said everything a little bit tongue-in-cheek and with a sly smile. I've encountered morality police Jesus, who came to tell you and everyone else exactly how to live your life and what's right from wrong. I've encountered motivational speaker Jesus, who comes to us in a really nice car and fancy designer suit, who came to tell you how to make lots of cash and live life abundantly. I've encountered social justice Jesus, who came to do away with oppressive systems and stick it to the man. I've encountered non-judgmental Jesus, who would just never say anything mean about anyone or condemn anyone. We prefer a Jesus just like us. We prefer a Jesus who values the same ideals. We prefer a Jesus who stays well inside our little box of what the Son of God should be like. We prefer a Jesus who corresponds exactly with our picture of what he should be like. We prefer Jesus to give us exactly what we want in God. We prefer Jesus to live up to our expectations. Thank you very much. We're comfortable with the Jesus who rides in to the city on a colt and a donkey on Palm Sunday. We're comfortable with Jesus being the Son of David, as long as that means he overthrows the evil empire. We're comfortable with Jesus being a prophet, as long as his message, you know, doesn't hit too close to home. However, we are not comfortable with the Jesus who immediately goes and overturns tables in the temple. We are not comfortable with a Jesus who randomly curses a fig tree. Seriously, Jesus, what's with that? We're not comfortable with a Jesus who looks to overthrow the religious order that we're so comfortable with. We're not comfortable with a Jesus who condemns the religious hierarchy of the day. And that's just Matthew chapter 21. Later this week, the debate of who Jesus is will come to a head. Jesus isn't who the crowd thought he would be. Jesus isn't the picture of God the religious leaders had in their head. Jesus isn't necessarily who we thought he'd be either. Who is Jesus? Jesus is a threat to our carefully curated picture of God. I know there are things that Jesus does and things that Jesus says that make us uncomfortable. We have a picture of Jesus in our head. And if there is a place in the Bible that contradicts our views on Jesus, well, we just ignore it. I know I like the Gospel of Luke's version of Jesus much better than I like the Gospel of Matthew's version, if I'm completely honest. Who is Jesus? Out of our control, out of our hands, Son of David, Son of God, and God. So, in order to preserve their picture of Jesus, they will later, or picture of God, they will later this week go on to kill him. They will kill Jesus. Not only that, we will join them. We will kill Jesus too. We, the same crowd who today, this morning, shouted Hosanna, will later shout, crucify him. Crucify him. We will kill Jesus in order that the neat and tidy image that we have of God may live. But of course, Jesus is the true Son of David. Jesus is the true Son of God. Jesus is God. And praise God that God isn't who we think God should be. Who is Jesus? At the end of Holy Week, we will have the full picture of just who God is and what God has and will do for us, each and every one of us. Even though we will call for Jesus' death on Good Friday, and we see that Jesus is a God who forgives. Who forgives the very people that cry out for his crucifixion. Who will forgive us for our false idol, Jesus's, and will forgive us for putting him on the cross. And on Easter Sunday, we will see that Jesus is, as he said, the resurrection and the life. Who gives that same resurrection and life to each and every one of us. So please, we invite you this Holy Week to join us as we rediscover just who Jesus is. Thanks be to God. Amen.